Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. Yes, sir. We're back, as usual, on this fine Thursday night. Spring has definitely sprung. It's been very nice weather. It's a little cool on the East Coast right now, but it's still a lot better than what we had a dose of when it was wintertime. Excuse me. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker, with two Jersey guys holding it down. And this is the FSP Crew Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. Yeah, you know I say it twice because I just like to. 347-637-3220 is the place to be. And you've heard it before, and you're going to hear it again if you want to talk to Jeff or me. Got a great show in store for you tonight. I don't even know where to start. We're going to talk about a little Deflategate, powder ball, or whatever you want to call it. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the top 100 teams. Top 100 players that came out yesterday from Duke, I do believe. The next set of 10 came out yesterday. We're going to be talking about that. Maybe getting into a little bit of NBA playoffs. It's getting pretty interesting. Teams down to 5-6, 3-2, 2-2, 3-1. They got a lot of different combinations. We're going to get to that. And whatever else may decide to jump up, I don't know if I'm leaving something out. If I am, Jeff will jump in and remind me, and we'll go with the flow. I've talked long enough. Let's bring in my esteemed co-host to the table so we can start this conversation. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for the introduction. happy to be here.
I'm always happy to talk to you, Jeff, when we can converse like this on the sports and whatever else that happens to hit our excuse me for the faintness, our feeble minds. But let's get right into it. Okay. You know, I don't know which side of the coin to jump on here, but there's two things that I wanted to play here that could be apropos to the situation. One of them is
absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And the other one is, if you're a Patriots fan, you may not want it. You want it, but if you're a non-Patriots fan and you happen to be a disliker, if that's a word, of a person that dislikes the Patriots or thinks that they don't do things the right way, they kind of cheat. I've heard that, or lie and cheat, I should say. You want to know, Was it true or is it not true? So let's play this.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case or not, because Tom Brady, as we all know, the glamour boy or the poster boy for the NFL and the organization called the New England Patriots, who just recently won their Super Bowl, got suspended for 4 games. The organization got fined $1 million. They lost a 2016 first round pick and a 2017 fourth round pick because of the underinflation of said footballs in the Indianapolis Colts championship game. Some say it was a setup. Some say it was a sting. Some say that well, a lot of people, not a lot of people say, but it's been said that they were, meaning the NFL was informed, Jeff, ahead of time that this may be a possibility. And for what I understand is this, and correct me if I'm mistaken, the refs, the normal procedure for a football game is the refs gets the balls, whatever balls that the team is going to play with, because they have a set of balls that they play with, but the refs have to inspect them. And once the refs inspect them, the team's not supposed to get the balls back in such a manner that they could doctor the balls. But in this case, and I don't know how long it's been going on, no one knows, but in this incident, which would happen to be the playoff game with the Colts, which the Patriots won handily, but that's not the point. The balls were then altered by the equipment personnel from the New England Patriots, and supposedly under the direction, of Tom Brady. That's what the basically what the report's saying, and also it's saying that Tom Brady wasn't all that cooperative, or could have been more cooperative, and it's more than likely, if I'm saying it right, more than likely that he knew about it and gave their direction to the equipment personnel of the Patriots to do what they do to the balls to deflate them, hence Deflategate. And that's why he got the 4-game suspension, because the fact is it's more likely than not that he knew about it and he directed it. And also because he wasn't forthcoming and completely cooperative when during the investigation. Now, if I left something out, Jeff, please fill in the blanks. If I'm mistaken, fill in the blanks also. Talk to me.
You know, it sounds, what you said, it sounds pretty accurate. Right before recently it came out that the NFL Players Association is going to appeal the suspension.
Right.
It might be one of those things where any suspension is automatically appealed. I think that happens because once a couple times I heard suspensions being appealed and I was just like, huh, what's the grounds? But I think it's just a procedural thing. Personally, I mean, it's all this whole thing. It's all for show. You know what I mean? It really is. Mm-hmm. Because if he can get away with it, Goodell is boys with the Patriots owner, and he would take care of his boy because, you know, the thing is, you know, Kraft is one of the guys who gave Goodell that job, you know. So,
yep.
But this is, you know, because of the publicity, even Goodell doesn't have the chutzpah to make a move like that. So, you know, to keep the fans and the media and whatever, and for appearances, they got to, you know, put the foot down with this. But, I of course, Brady, the Patriots are acting very indignant. But
yes.
I don't.
Arrogant.
You know,
arrogant, too, Jeff.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't, you know, a lot of people dislike Brady or whatever. I don't think he's a complete fool. He would be a fool if he took this to a real court, because then he'd have to testify under oath. And, you know, he's been lying about this since the jump. You get caught lying under oath, that's a whole different ball of wax. I don't think
right.
He's that stupid. You know, I bet you they'll make an announcement or something. Eventually it'll be his agent or somebody, his lawyer, and they'll kind of say, well, I'm still innocent, but I'm not going to take it to court just so this thing goes away and what, you know what I mean? Cause that's when you know, cause once in a while, every celebrity or someone will plead guilty to something and then they'll still be saying their innocence. Like, well, you pled guilty. And I'll say, well, I just wanted to be done with it, which doesn't make much sense. And I think Brady will be talking that nonsense pretty soon.
Yeah, man. You know what, man? You know, the thing about it is this: when they first came out with the punishment, Kraft made a statement, and I thought it was pretty arrogant of him to do that. And the lawyer for Brady, quite naturally, he's got to defend his client, and the apologist for the Patriots, meaning the on-air personalities that are on air right now, that are really, you know, rocking a hard place, because it's obvious if you read what took place that Mr. Brady has a problem here. But the I think Goodell and the NFL, because of what they did with Ray Rice, what they did with Adrian Peterson, especially Ray Rice when they really screwed that one up, is in a no-win situation. Meaning if he gives him out 4 to 6 games, quite naturally, he only gave him out 4, which is fine, and he fined him the $1 million with and the 2 draft picks taken away from him, that the a lot of them will say that that was either too much of a fine or not much of a fine. In my opinion, he's in a no-win situation. And I'm not taking up for Goodell, but what I'm saying is, because this is the Patriots, and the fact is that everyone in God's country that knows anything about the NFL knows that he's very good friends. I don't know if that's the case anymore, or with Robert Kraft, because, and one of the reasons, just like you alluded to, that he helped him get the job where he's at as commissioner of the NFL, that he wouldn't come down hard on him because the fact is of those circumstances. Well, supposedly this, he came down harder. Now, I don't know what happened. We'll talk to him behind closed doors. I don't think he even talked to Kraft behind closed doors, saying this is what's going to happen. And you can appeal it. More likely, it's going to be reduced. Brady's fine is going to be reduced. It could be. I don't know if the organization has to appeal it also. I'm not sure about that. I know Tom Brady appealed it. When I first talked about this, I don't know if it was on this show or it was on the Victor show on Saturday, FSP show, that I was thinking 6 games, it would get reduced to 3. Well, they got 4 games. I wasn't that far, but they got 4. He got 4 games. So I'm thinking if it does get appealed, I don't think it's going to get completely taken away. I think he's going to get at least 2 games. I think the fines are going to stand, because absolutely, if you read the report, that there's some culpability Mr. Brady has to take here, responsibility for what took place. Now, I don't know if you still on Facebook, but Sterling Sharp had about an 8-minute commentary on Facebook about the inner workings of a football player and the equipment manager that deals with the football players on a daily basis and on game day. And he says this, that the equipment manager takes a direction from the players. Players want things, equipment a certain way. The equipment manager makes sure that that player gets what he wants, because even if it's a quirky thing, that's what he wants. Sterling Sharp, and this is an example he had. Sterling Sharp says he wears a certain size of socks. But the equipment manager doesn't put those socks in front of him on game day. what the equipment manager, what he wants the equipment manager to do, because Thurman Sharp was superstitious. He wanted to, am I saying Sterling Sharp or Shannon Sharp?
He said Sterling.
Yeah, okay. He wanted the equipment manager to give him the next size up. So he would take those socks that the equipment manager, the larger socks, back to the equipment manager, and the equipment manager would give him the proper socks that he would wear. That was a quirky, superstitious thing that Sterling Sharp did every time he put on his uniform. And the example he was making, that the equipment manager doesn't do anything that the player wants unless the player specifies it. And if you look, listen to Tom Brady, and I don't know if you remember this, because I remember this specifically, and I thought he stepped on his self when he said this. When they originally came out and they asked him, Tom Brady, point blank, do you think you cheated? And he, this is his answer, and I can't say verbatim, but I'm going to get very close to it. I don't think I cheated. I like my balls a certain way, and that's just the way I have them. Now, when you say you have the balls a certain way, that's telling me that you tell the equipment manager, this is what I want. Make it happen. So, from the information that was in the report, quite naturally, they couldn't get any records from his phone because he didn't want to give that up. It looked like Tom Brady gave the direction that this is the way I want it, and make it happen. I don't care. Probably he said, I don't care how you do it, make it happen. But because he's the football player and he's Tom Brady, and the equipment manager works for the organization, including the players, they have to make sure that the players who play the game get what they want so they can excel to the highest level when they're out there. What's your thoughts on that? I don't know if you heard that press conference when this first came out. He had a wool cap on. I remember it specifically.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I understand, innocent until proven guilty, but that's a court of law. And right. You don't get that same high standard in other places because, believe me, me and everyone else make decisions all the time without that heavy burden of truth.
But right.
The thing is, it happens at work all the time. You get in trouble for something, you might even get fired without, maybe you could appeal it or whatever without that burden of proof. It happens all the time, but the thing is, if I'm making a decision, where I'm going to do my business or, I'm going to live my life, I'm not sending people to jail. That's the difference. And, I remember Bill Walsh once said, and I hope I'm getting his quote right, and I'm close, some of his best players are the most insecure, And I think that's the problem with Brady and with Belichick. They're like Nixon, Nixon
right.
was going to easily beat McGovern in the election, but that wasn't good enough for Nixon. He really wanted to be sure.
Right.
And I think that's what B&B, Brady and Belichick, I think that's what these guys are all about. NFL already is a very high level of competition, and I'm not excusing them, they can't help themselves. But in life, there's some lines you shouldn't cross. And the thing is, Belichick has plenty of time to prepare for this. The Patriots have a pretty good backup. And I'm curious if the Patriots are going to sign another quarterback between now and training camp. Two of the unemployed quarterbacks at this point are Michael Vick, who's unemployed. And you never know. Belichick can be very creative. He might have some ideas for a guy like Vic, and he might come in handy. And you wouldn't pull a star like Brady for some kind of wildcat package, but maybe if Garoppolo isn't doing well, you could put in Vic maybe. And another unemployed guy, more famous for his last name than his achievements, is Matt Sims is available. And, of course, you know, he played for the Jets, and the Patriots and the Jets love signing guys off of each other's squads. I mean, the Jets, though, the thing is, they're going to have a new offense. But, I mean, me and my buddy used to joke about it. Like, if, you know, the Patriots fired their caterer, the Jets would bring in the guy the next day to talk to him. I mean, it was it's almost automatic whenever one of those teams cuts a guy. And that just goes to illustrate that's the kind of stuff that goes on in the NFL.
Okay. Well, Jeff.
But, you know, I want to interject something.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you know, a minor figure of this is one of the NFL executives. I might have mentioned this before. You're probably familiar with him because he played in the NFL for a long time, Troy Vincent.
Sure.
And it's funny because I practically know the guy because he went to high school with my my college sweetheart in Pennsylvania, right across the river from Trenton. So, you know, Troy Vincent finished his career in he played part of his career in Philadelphia, which, you know, he grew up about a half hour from there. Now, this is something about that guy, and I know what you're going to say, that I don't like, because I think he's some kind of traitor or something. Because besides his playing career, he was president of the Players Union. How the heck did you go from president of the Players Association to, boom, working for the NFL? I mean, I could see if he was working for a team as a coach or working for the network as a broadcaster. Sometimes that sort of thing is sometimes illegal. I assume it's legal, and the NFL Players Association didn't make a statement about it. I'm sure they were ticked about it. But that just goes to show how sleazy these NFL owners in the NFL are, because I'm sure they were drooling over this guy. And I don't trust him. And he, the thing with the Adrian Peterson situation, he reached out to Peterson when he really shouldn't have, and they never really cleared up whether he was authorized to do so or not. But either way, he really wasn't supposed to be in contact with Peterson. But I'll tell you, this, you know, like the thing is, I mean, if, and you know, people are very opinionated on union or non-union or whatever, and I'm actually fairly neutral on that. But let's say that if a guy was president of the United Auto Workers, you know, the big auto union, he couldn't go become an executive at Ford or GM. It's not allowed. But somehow the NFL was able to pull that off. It just goes to show how sleazy these guys are. And then you got Goodell. You know, they take care of each other, you know. And Goodell keeps saying over and over, integrity, integrity. What a crock. You know, when somebody's legit, you know it. They don't have to tell you over and over they got integrity or this one's got it or whatever. You know, it's a big, huge, steaming pile of dog crap. But now, the thing is also, like, some of these things are football. Most of it is usually rumored. You hear these stories about spying and cheating all the time. I heard one recently that I hadn't heard earlier, and this is an old one that's been kicking around, that when Dan Reeves was coaching the Giants, and this is, you know, a very well-respected coach, but, you know, the paranoia can get to you sometimes. He really thought that there's a couple hotels near a Giant Stadium. He thought that the visiting teams would sometimes did you hear this one? They'd rent the room on the high floor at a hotel and spy because you could see Giant Stadium from the hotel.
Yeah, I heard that,
And
yeah, that's crazy.
You know, it's not as crazy as it sounds. And
no, it's not.
I'm not sure which hotel it was, because one of those hotels I've been to a bunch of times for conventions and whatnot. And that hotel's next to the hospital where they say Jimmy Hoffa was buried. because, you know, this is the real Jersey stuff, because the urban legend is that Hoffa was in the old Giant Stadium.
Right.
One of my relatives knew somebody, and amongst local people, supposedly when Hoffa disappeared, the foundation for Giant Stadium had already been poured. Right? That could be researched. You know, I mean, I'm not a construction expert, though. But there's a hospital nearby called Riverside. What was called Riverside Hospital? Now it's called Meadowlands Hospital in Secaucus. And the foundation for that hospital was being poured right around the time Hoffa disappeared. So that, that's the, like, a lot of local people. Then the joke was, yeah, they found him in the maternity wing organizing labor.
Oh, wow.
No, but they're really, you know, he's probably as likely to be in that hospital as he is in Giant Stadium. I mean, they're still, to this day, every couple of years, they'll dig up someplace in Michigan or wherever where he's rumored to be.
well, yeah,
you get the local flavor with this show.
Yep. One thing I know, Jeff, that, and I don't know if you recall this or not, but when D'Amore Smith first got elected to be the to head the NFLPA, Troy Vissen was trying to get the same job.
True.
And that falls into, like, well, since he didn't get that job, all of a sudden he got a executive job with the NFL. So,
right.
I'm just saying.
Where's the media on this? Where's people saying, hey, you know, I mean, it's no secret. Where's the outrage? Where's something? You know, I mean, it might be a non-story, but I think it's very relevant. And the thing is, I mean, D'Amore Smith, I mean, yes, I mean, Troy Vincent was the president, but D'Amore Smith is a lawyer, specifically employment law. It would make sense that he would be in charge of the union. And I think that's when the union got in trouble, because when they, you know, way back in the 80s, it was Ed Garvey, I think, was the head of the union, you know, a lawyer with labor experience. And then I think when Gene Upshaw, you know, I mean, hey, he was, you know, president of the union for a long time. But when he became the leader, I think he might have made some mistakes just because, you know, with all due respect, he's not a lawyer, you know.
Right.
I don't get that. But, you know, some people, they just want to be the boss. They don't want to know the facts. They just want to be the boss. And you know what? I mean, you know, D'Amore Smith, I've grown in my respect for him because, you know, I got to admit, and I'm glad I kept this to myself. I thought when they agreed to the new collective bargaining agreement, the current one, that he let Goodell's power continue unchecked. But the thing is, I think he must have figured, you know what? He'll make me give up something for him to lose his dictatorial power. Screw it. I'll let him keep it, and then I'll just go to court because, you know, or the mediation or whatever, they'll just throw it out. And that's what's happened, you know? So why bargain for something that you fairly certain you could have overturned in court? So, hey, he's a lot smarter than he might have looked.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were some trade-offs that they had players now are realizing that they're probably going to address with the next collective bargaining agreement window. I think it's, 10 years that they can open it up again or something like that.
It's a long agreement. Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to talk about, Jeff, and this is very important because quarter of the season, if the suspension holds up to four games, a quarter of the season with a bye at a week four, Brady will sit out. Pittsburgh at Buffalo, home against Jacksonville, and a bye week, and then the fourth game would be at Dallas. Now I'm thinking, and in my opinion, I'm just taking an educated guess. Some people say it's going to be 1-3, that the record's going to be if Brady doesn't play all four games. Some people, like myself, think it's going to be an even split, 2-2. What's your thought on this?
I think 2-2, maybe even 3-1. Because, I mean, Jacksonville, nothing special. Okay. Dallas, their defense is maybe a little overrated because they're good at controlling the ball, you know, with the running game. Buffalo, okay, they brought in Rex. He's going to improve that defense. It might not be that good early in the season. That was a lousy defense last year. And the Pittsburgh defense was pretty bad too. And I think, you know, with the Belichick Patriots, and then I think this happened after Spygate, you know, God, this is a big cliche. You know, they know how to circle the wagons, you know, and they got plenty of time to prepare. So, mm-hmm. I mean, hey, didn't they go 11-5 with Matt Castle, a quarterback? I mean, yeah, that was back when they had Randy Moss, but they showed they could win without Brady. Belichick, despite his cheating and whatever, is an excellent coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then I'm gonna go on this angle, Jeff, because there's a lot of different angles to this, and I'm going to go this angle because it was brought up, and I didn't think about it until it was brought up, and I'm saying that's a pretty good thought, and you wonder why Belichick hasn't been tagged in this, as in the way that the New Orleans Saints and Sean Payton was penalized. Now, it was the defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, at the time, that got tagged. But because the head coach is the head coach and he's responsible for whatever happens with the team, he got tagged for 1 year suspension. And in this case, the organization gets fined money and draft picks. The player gets fined, but the coach gets basically exonerated. What's your thoughts on that?
That probably this is part of the whole charade. I think because, you know, Brady got suspended for 4 games and he's such a marquee guy, that might be sufficient, as opposed to Vilma got that big time suspension for the Saints, but he's not nearly the profile of Brady, if that makes any sense, you know. And then Belichick, I think he was fined in the Spygate thing. There was talk he was going to get.
He got fined $500,000.
Yeah, that's a chunk. Even if you got money, that's a chunk.
Yes.
Trying to think, go back to that. There was talk he was going to get suspended, but he didn't. And I remember that off season he hired Dom Capers, and you know, this is one of these times everybody was talking, but it wasn't true. They said, oh, he wanted to bring in a guy who had experience as a head coach in case he's suspended for some games. He's got an experienced guy to run the team, and it wasn't even relevant because he didn't get suspended. But what's funny? When I first heard of this, you know, the suspension, it actually sounded right, because most people either think it's too lenient, it's too harsh. To me, I was like, you know, sounds about right, which it's hard to get that reaction. You can't tell for sure. You don't know what's exactly right. But I thought maybe they would do a 6-game suspension, so this way Brady can try to knock it down to 4, you know, because it is kind of like a haggle kind of thing. Another reason I think Brady would be a fool to go to court is, you know, he didn't submit his cell phone or even the messages. He wasn't cooperative with the investigator because, hey, the guy doesn't have subpoena power. But if he goes to court, then he'd have to turn that stuff over.
Yes.
And he'll get busted.
Yes. Yeah, you're right about that. All right, let's move on to another subject that I'm still trying to grasp why these players are where they're at. This is probably going to be the craziest 100 players, especially where they're ranked at. The reason I'm saying this is because Randall Cobb is number 100, which is blowing my mind. I can't believe that somebody that dynamic is the 100th best player that's ranked by the players in this. But going real quickly, he's 100. Calais Campbell's 99. Adam Vinatieri is rated or ranked over Randall Cobb at 98. And Joe Flacco, who dropped about 40 spots, he's 97. Jarrell Casey, he's 96. Emmanuel Sanders is 95. C.J. Mosley is 94. Jason Witten is 93. Aaron Donald is 92. Julian Edelman is 91. And the next 10 that came out last night, starting from the lowest to the highest to the lowest, I should say, would be Michael Bennett from the Seattle Seahawks at number 90. Then Greg Olsen at 89. Glover Quinn from the Detroit Lions at 88. DeMarcus Ware at 87. Eric Weddle, who's not too happy with the San Diego Chargers because they haven't in a contract. He's got trouble because they haven't offered him a decent contract or any contract, really. At 86, Golden Tate at 85. Terrell Suggs at 84. Marquise Pouncey from the Steelers at 83. Haloti Ngata, now quite naturally, Haloti Ngata is not with the Ravens anymore. He's with the Detroit Lions. And now this one here really, really surprises me. I don't know how the hell he's still in the top 100. Darren Sproles at 81. Out of those 10, Sproles, Ngata, Pouncey, Suggs, Tate, Weddle, Ware, Quinn, Olsen, and Bennett. You have a problem the way that they're ranked. I went from Bennett, who's 90, to Darren Sproles, who's 81. Talk to me.
You know, I love to know the exact criteria. And because, you know what? This is not totally define the NFL, but, you know, hey, just go with the fantasy rankings. But the thing is, I mean, there are some IDP leagues, but, you know, in most fantasy leagues, there aren't defensive players. But, like Vinatieri, I mean, in real NFL, you really got to love a clutch kicker like him. But in fantasy, most guys are taking kickers close to 200, you know, not 100. So I'm not sure. I don't know. These type of things could be very subjective.
Yeah, I say that I don't understand. And I'm really having a hard time wrapping my hand around these. How the hell can Randall Cobb, Emmanuel Sanders be in the lower 10 of the rankings and Adam Vinatieri ahead of Randall Cobb for one, and Darren Sproles is above both of those guys?
It doesn't quite add up. As good as Sproles is, he's not a full-time running back. But I mean, but he's very productive, you know. And I guess also, I remember once, I'm trying to think what coach it was. He was talking about his kicker, and he didn't say he was the best player on the team, but he said he was the best at his position. Like, well, that's a good way to look at it. I guess the guy was the best kicker in the league, and none of the other guys were the best at their position. But still, in the NFL, you know, kickers are important, but not the most important guy in the team. Not really close, actually.
I'm wondering because this debate comes up every year since they've been doing this. Are these guys doing it on their career or who they think is the top 100 players going into 2015? That's the debate.
The thing is, in general, I don't like those kind of lists. I mean, sometimes a certain list is good for amusement, you know, and then you know what happens. Like, you ever see like a list like the top 5 all-time running backs or 10 or whatever, and then there's always people get ticked off because somebody got left out. Like, let's say I think it was like top 10 all-time running backs. Somebody got ticked off. Tony Dorsett wasn't on the list. It's like, hey, nobody's saying Tony Dorsett was a bum. He was excellent, you know. He's probably on the next 10 and probably towards the top of that list. You know what I'm saying? But that some people have that type of reaction. And, you know, they used to have years ago on MTV, these things like the top 100, you know, rock artists or something like that. And it was so subjective. It was so random. And they don't even tell you how they figure it out. So it was absolutely meaningless. I tried to just not watch it because it was, it just was so useless. And that's, that list kind of sounds like that to me. I mean, I could just, you know, drink a six pack of beer and just write, oh, this is the top 100 anything and just put it out there. And what good is that? And that this list might be a little better than that, but that's what it could be, you know, just random nonsense.
Okay. Well, now, I read something about this yesterday and sitting in front of me again today. A possible trade of a top six fantasy running back going to the Dallas Cowboys. The offensive coordinator for this team favors Dak Prescott, which is having one stud running back shoulder the load. And a possible trade could be in line because this running back is approaching 30. And, you know, just like I know, that's the dreaded age that running backs, excuse me, most running backs fall off the cliff. There's been rumors that the Chicago Bears may be waving a feeler out there, especially to the Dallas Cowboys, about Matt Forte. Because the fact is that Adam Gase, who is the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, favors running back by committee. He gave praise to Jacquez Rogers and Kadeem Carey, who's with the Bears right now, both of them. What's your thoughts? A possibility, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but instead of Adrian Peterson, which was called for high stakes given to the Chicago Bears from the Dallas Cowboys, if that's high stakes given to the Minnesota Vikings from the Dallas Cowboys, if it was to come off, that instead of Adrian Peterson, the Chicago Bears offer out to the Cowboys for, who knows, probably number one draft pick. It's going to have to be a number one draft pick, I would think. But the price wouldn't steep as if the Vikings would want, what the Vikings would want. What's your thoughts?
You know, I mean, everybody was talking about a while ago, Cowboys are going to try to get Peterson. I mean, the thing is, they got Randall and the other guy coming back, and they're okay. Then they got McFadden, which, with all due respect, he's not a full-time running back. Maybe a third down back. Maybe. His NFL career has been plagued by injury. I think he's only had one good season as a pro with the Raiders. That's interesting because, you know, the Bears have that reputation. They don't like to pay guys, and they might not want to pay Forte. He probably has something left. I mean, he's got mileage, but he probably has something left. And that's really the first time I've heard that. I'll tell you, if I was the Vikings, I would love to trade Peterson because he still ticked off. They didn't stand by him. Hey, he got busted for child abuse. Right. It's hard to stand by someone like that because of, public relations reasons. I mean, it's not like he got busted for jaywalking. I mean, some people try to minimize what he did. I mean, even if you're going to make excuses for him, he got a little carried away. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, and for him to be ticked off that they didn't, quote, stand by him. I mean, what is he, a fool? But and then that goes back to him having zero remorse, because he got in trouble for that because he opened his big mouth, you know, after he got arrested or whatever. I mean, I don't think this guy's particularly bright. But, you know, Dallas is, I hate to say it, but they keep things interesting, because whenever there's some kind of deal or something, there's usually they're at least involved in it. They you know, and my respect for Jerry Jones as a GM, or maybe it's his son, has grown a little, because they rebuilt that line, and now look, they got Lael Collins, and you know, I like Collins, you know, and he says it's going to, you know, something, I forget the exact quote, something, it could be the best line in history. Hey, you know what? You want a guy who wants to be the best. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, as long as he doesn't get carried away, you want that. You want somebody with goals, with confidence. You want that, you know. And imagine him, a guy who should have been a first-round pick, you know, as maybe your sixth lineman. Wow, that's a heck of a line. You know, and you need a good running back with a line like that, but you can make a good running back look great when you got five great linemen and who play well together. But, yeah, really like the way they rebuilt, well, I don't want to say like, but respect the way they rebuilt that squad.
They stuck to a plan and didn't waver, even though supposedly Jerry Jones wanted to grab Johnny Football last season. Last draft. So, and it's paid off. And yes, I think the son Stephen Jones is more influential, and Jerry Jones is listening to him. Let me put it this way: he's listening to the voice of reason, regardless if it comes from Stephen Jones or the head coach. I think he's realizing some of the moves that he makes that haven't panned out. So he's going to, quite naturally, when you make moves and you think you know it all and the moves haven't panned out and you basically were a mediocre team for three straight years, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, you got to formulate something, a different plan. And apparently they were building this offensive line. They got some pieces last year to improve it. Quite naturally, it came to fruition with a 12-4 record and a chance in the playoffs. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out in the playoffs, but they have a strong line. And to think about it, Jeff, and I had said this over the weekend, it's amazing that they got lucked up, got an undrafted free agent in Lael Collins, who was a legitimate first round pick to go into that offensive line with what, they have three other first rounders there in that line. That, I mean, that's
four. They're stacked.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that line, you know, offensive linemen, they're there. If they can pay them all when their contracts come up, that's a 10-year line. That's a 10-year line. And you can only get better, barring injury. Those guys can be a force for quite a while. Those offensive linemen, as long as you can keep them together, seemingly get better with age. So I got to give it to them. I don't know how they pulled the coup off all the teams that were clamoring for Lael Collins, but they seem like they grabbed him up pretty quick. Once everything pretty much was cleared in his legal problems. All right. Got about 10 minutes left in the show. I want to talk about some NBA basketball. We got two teams on tap tonight. One's playing and one's going to be playing tonight. One home team, or both home teams are up 3-2. One home team is up 3-2. The other one is on the road. Talking about the Chicago Bulls versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland's up quite naturally 3-2. And then later on at 10:30, the Houston Rockets, who are down three games to two, are playing the LA Clippers in LA. Jeff, I don't know if you've been watching these games. LeBron James hit a game winner two games ago. They won by 5 or 6 points the last game they played. But the last few games that they played, Chicago hasn't had Pau Gasol. Supposedly he's playing tonight. Gonna have to take a shot, supposedly in either groin or hamstring. I forget exactly which part of his leg is hurt. And right now I'm looking at a score in the second quarter. It's maybe a relatively low scoring game. That the Cleveland Cavaliers are up 38 to 37. Chicago's up 39-38 with 7:52 left in the second quarter. First of all, let's go to this one. Does Cleveland close out Chicago in Chicago, or are we going to a game seven that's going to wind up in Cleveland over the weekend?
Well, yeah, you know that's how those rumors used to start going with the six games, because it was like no matter what, it just seemed like they wanted every series to go seven games, you know, and it was nuts. But there was some truth behind that when it came out with the Donaghy scandal. You know, I'll tell you, it just goes to show you, you know, these playoff games are brutal. You know, they really are. I think they take so much out of these guys physically, mentally. And I mean, you know, Chicago, they're dealing with, you know, Rose, he's always banged up. And, you know, you said Gasol. But, you know, Cleveland's got a lot of hurt, too. I mean, Love is out. And is J.R. Smith banged up or something? He was suspended a couple games. Yeah, that guy got his act together just long enough to get a lot of money from the Knicks. That drives me nuts. You know? And you know what drives me nuts? When guys, and sometimes I'm actually, if I like the guy, I'm happy for him. But when guys struggle as Knicks, and then you see him playing well in the playoffs, and of course the Knicks aren't in the playoffs most years. And one of those guys who I actually like is Zach Randolph. And, right. You know, he was with the Knicks when they were kind of at the end of that revolving door era. I think it was at the end of the Isaiah Thomas era. And,
right.
And you know, I think he got way too much criticism as a Knick, you know, and I thought it wasn't perfect, but compared to the other guys they had, like Eddie Curry, no comparison. I mean, at least say what you want, you know, Zach Randolph's a legitimate good NBA player. Curry was an effing marshmallow, you know. I mean, And you know, okay, you didn't want those two in the game at the same time. I didn't want Curry in the game ever, you know.
Right.
But has Shumpert been playing some point for Cleveland? Because I like him. I mean, that doesn't make him a great player. He's a good player. But I liked his attitude with the Knicks, and you know, he is a shooting guard, but he's confident and he's a pro, and he said several times, hey, I can play point once in a while. I'd like that. You know what I mean? It didn't come across as being cocky or anything. Like, no, he's a good ball handler. I mean, I don't think you'd want him your full-time point guard for 82 games. But, you know, hey, you got to be versatile. And an NBA player should be able to play another position. And I liked his attitude about that. And, you know, maybe he could get to show off those skills a little, you know. But this is when, you know, sometimes those guys on the bench, those veteran guys, sometimes you like the veterans on the end of the bench because you figure they're not going to get rusty if they don't get regular minutes. And some of those guys could be worth their weight in gold this time of year, you know. I don't think Cleveland has anybody like that. But you never know. Somebody could step up. And it happens sometimes. Sometimes somebody deep on the bench will step up in a big spot. It does happen once in a while.
Yeah, well, they're hoping, because if this is do or die for, well, from now until the end of this series, it's do or die for Chicago, and at least if Cleveland loses this game, they have a shot to win it in Cleveland over the weekend. Next, we move on to the out to the left coast, where the Clippers got past the Spurs. And I think one of the wins that helped us get past the Spurs, because they seem like they're a more confident team. And sometimes that's all it takes to get over the hump of, I wouldn't say your nemesis, but to get over the hump of a team that constantly is beating you over the head and you can't get past them. You finally get past them and you show a lot more confidence against a team like the high scoring and no defense of the Houston Rockets, especially their star player in James Harden, who just wants to shoot the ball, and defense is it's a way afterthought. And they're down 3-2, meaning Houston's down to the Clippers. What's your thoughts on that series? And if does L.A. close that out tonight, or are we going back to game six?
You know,
seven.
That's a good one. You know, I'll tell you, L.A., Blake Griffin has been impressing people, because the knock on him was, he's, good for highlights and numbers, but, not a champion type player. But, he, one thing about him, he always seems so serious. You know what I mean? And his dunks might be flashy, but he doesn't seem flashy, and he's impressing a lot of people. And, now Doc's son is looking good. And I'm sure, and he brought his son to the team. I'm sure a lot of people cringed. And, hey, Doc's a great coach. He's a GM too. So, I hate to be paranoid, but, I really hope they call these games straight. You can't take it for granted. But unfortunately, because there's that history, it's very easy to be paranoid.
Well, are you saying that they're still, regardless of them rooting that one referee out, they still have a betting interest in here?
I don't. The thing is, because I read the stuff that Donahue said, there was several of the quote company men refs, and and it was all like this nudge, nudge, wink, wink, because, this is the reason people say, oh, it never happened, because Stern is too smart. Stern never had to say anything. There was never any, so there's no proof. But they would put these company men, which as a casual fan, I should not know the names of NBA refs, but the Dick Bavettas and the guys and the Joey Crawfords and the guys like that, these company men, they'd give them the assignments for the playoffs, and these guys would assume, and they were right, that it boggles the mind that it was in the best interest of the league to make all these series go seven games, or to favor the teams that were more popular with the big stars or from the larger markets. And it just kept happening and happening, and nothing had to be said. And the classic was, at this point, it's over 10 years ago, was that Lakers-King series. It was so long ago, Shaq was playing for the Lakers.
Right.
And it was, that it was like a pro wrestling thing. There was no way that the Kings were going to eliminate the Lakers in that game six, because they wanted it to go to game seven in L.A. And
right.
it was a joke. It was, that game was an absolute joke. And then you say, well, how relevant is that? I think of those reps, I think two of them are still in the league. So it is relevant,
Yep, you're right.
And I knew a guy, a friend of the family, who was back in the 80s, was swearing the NBA's fixed. Everybody knows a guy like that.
You're right. All right, Jeff, we come to the end of this show. We got about 30 seconds left before we're out of here completely. You got any thoughts before we take a walk out of here?
This week, one of the all-time great sports figures turned 90 years old, Yogi Berra.
Yep.
And I think it's great that Yogi's still enjoying life, and I had the pleasure of meeting him once. And he was just as humble and gracious as I had heard. If I didn't recognize the face and somebody said to me, "Oh, this is my Uncle Lou. He's a retired plumber," I'd believe him. You know what I'm saying? And I mean that as a compliment. You know,
right,
he's just
right.
That kind of regular guy.
Right.
Humble and just regular guy. And I only mean that as a compliment. And God bless Yogi. I hope he lives for another 90 years and is healthy and happy and everything else.
Okay. Well, the only thing I have to say before I drop the mic, we walk out of here, is it ain't over till it's over. But guess what, Jeff? It's over. Till next week, tune in, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Jeff and I will be here at FSP Cruise Show. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy this good, fabulous weather. Hopefully the best is yet to come. We are out of here. See ya.